What is up, After Buzzers? We are finally here, number three, this mid-season finale, and it's talking all about Randall, and it was one hell of an episode, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey. I can't do the right moves. I'll try.
Erica wants to show everybody her shirt.
Yes.
Why would you do that?
What is up, guys? We finally made it. I can't believe we're at episode 10.
I know.
We're halfway mark. Halfway mark. I cried tonight again. Why am I not surprised at all? What's up, guys? My name's Candace Cruz. You can find me on all my social media at Candace R. Cruz.
What's up, everybody? I am Keith Andre. You can follow me everywhere at Keith_Andre. Candace did cry, but she did it in a way that allowed us to enjoy the episode.
You're welcome. You're welcome, okay?
She was a silent crier.
I silently sobbed to myself.
Yeah. Okay? When she cries, she does this thing.
You did that too. Don't even play.
I did.
I did do that tonight. Uh-huh. What an episode.
I did this too a couple times.
It was such an amazing episode. You guys can find me all over the internet at Lena Nori. And yes, I did sob today.
Yay!
But that's because Randall, what's his name? His real name?
Sterling.
Yeah. Sterling is an incredible actor.
I love Sterling so much. I'm like, how could you forget his name?
I'm so bad with names. I still call Milo Jack. I call him Jack. I'm like, hey, there's Jack.
And I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby. My shirt says Straight Out of Lincoln. As I mentioned last week, I went to Lincoln University, the first HBCU. I had to do it because they went to Howard today. So...
That was a fun time in Howard.
That's it. Yeah.
I'm gonna wear my shirt when we come back. I went to HBCU as well. As I mentioned, I went to Norfolk State University.
High fives.
So, yeah.
From far away.
Well, I went to UCLA, and Keith is wearing my Bruin color.
Actually, this is my color too. University of Kentucky.
Yeah,
we got matching colors.
We're all connected.
We're all connected.
You guys, what an episode.
Right? Sorry. We're talking all about other things. No, yeah. We have a lot to talk about. There is a lot of stuff going on in this episode. Try and hit on all of it. Bear with us. I mean, votes for where we're starting. We starting at Howard. We starting at Deja. Pick.
I'm not voting because...
Go.
I'm afraid of
Lena. I mean,
we
started talking about schools.
Howard?
You should be afraid.
Yeah, we can start at Howard.
All right, we're starting at Howard, guys. It's just, there's so much going on. We got to have a vote here. So, we had some deja vu.
Yeah.
You did that. You did it.
I did it.
That's as corny as Randall's iPad joke.
You know what? I'm proud to be corny like that, okay?
It was super cute.
Thank you.
No, it was cute.
I liked
it.
It was clever.
You liked it. We had some deja vu going back to the same episode again.
Yeah.
And seeing it for the third time. We saw a couple... Math here. Saw different things this time that we haven't seen, saw them in a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Like with the dog and then the conversation by the breaker. And everything else within that short amount of time. And then we get to see Randall go off to college.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which brought back a lot of memories of, like, going for your first college tour. And, like, leaving your parents. And you're like, let me just, like, do my thing. So I felt really bad for Jack when he was like, oh, you want to go with this? Sure. Yeah, like, you can go. I felt so bad for him.
I didn't feel bad for him. Because, like you're saying, Candace, I put myself back in his shoes. Mm-hmm. And was like, I didn't want to go on the tour with my mom.
Oh, of course. But I felt bad for Jack, not for Randall. I'm sorry.
Well, because he assumed it was because he's like, I'm white. And then he's like, no, Dad, you're old.
Yeah, you're the parent.
Right.
I think he forgets. Cute. When you get older, especially because they're kind of the cool parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're like the hip, they want to like bond mm-hmm. with their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they keep thinking, hey, we're kind of the same age, we're going with our kids. And he's like, no, Dad, you're old. I want to hang out with my friends. It has nothing to do with your skin color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I really liked the whole, like, Jack kept saying, it's Harvard. It's just Harvard. But we realized there was such a bigger issue of why Randall wanted to go to Howard from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that moment when he was in... I mean, the tour was great. They actually showed him, like, a tour. I was expecting them to take him, like, to College Ranger and, like, go on and do their own thing.
Not during the day.
Right.
They would have just gone to the cafeteria and sat there the whole time.
Either way, when he was sitting in the dorm room with all the guys that were giving him the tour and the whole conversation of being, like...
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they had that conversation as well. They shed a lot of light on it. You know, this is another episode that gave us like several learning opportunities to see like the HBCU. And, you know, it may not be as common to see, you know, white faces. So having that experience and then even hearing them all say like, oh, well, my high school was all white. Mm-hmm. And so it is kind of this culture and this place to like really see yourself, to learn about, you know, your history and who you are. So I think having Randall go off to college and have that experience, we really got to see like why he is the way he is. And we were kind of talking about that with the other episodes.
Yeah.
But we really got to dig deep and see like, oh, this explains exactly who Randall is. Mm-hmm. And we got to see how he connects with his dad.
So it's it's interesting, touching on what you said in a second. But yeah, this episode focused a lot on the importance of identity. And it's not just the color of your skin, it's also a culture.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many different shades and everyone has a beautiful, unique skin, but it's feeling like you belong somewhere. And he has said that at different times he's never really felt like he's belonged, or when he does feel like he belongs and there's a part of him that doesn't feel whole. And that's just so important in life, to feel like you have an identity, you feel like you belong, and you feel like you're a part of a family, however big that may be. And the interesting point, and it's, you know, for everyone out there that either agreed or didn't agree with what we thought about last week's episode about Kate, was specifically what we found out about Randall this episode, which is I wanted to know more about younger Kate and how she developed into who she was today. And I feel like with this episode, we really got to see what made Randall who he is today. And ultimately, what led him to what we saw now is his decision with Deja. So I loved this episode. I loved what we saw about Randall and all the different layers. And yeah, as you said, there's so many different lessons in this episode.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I mean, I've had that identity crisis too with like, and I think almost everybody does in some way, shape, or form or fashion.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in a town that I didn't look like anybody. And when I finally went somewhere where everybody looked like me, I went in my dad and I was like, everybody looks like me. So everybody has their moment of like, you didn't realize what you were missing until you found it. And then you figure out like, oh, this is what I've been missing all this time. And I think it's not, like, he even explains it so well in the car when he looks at Jack and he's like, you know, when you felt bad about me not automatically introducing you, that's how I feel all the time. And I think that that's something that, like, Randall's never voiced to his parents. He kind of did a little bit when he was little, inadvertently, of saying, like trying to find different black male role models to like identify with and doing the karate and everything else. But he didn't really come out right and say, this is what I feel, because he didn't know how to explain it. And now he's old enough and we're seeing a little bit more of like what you said, Randall developing into like who he is and really getting to see him like talk and like communicate what he's feeling and what he's looking forward to. And yeah,
I was just gonna say, and going off of that, he didn't even do it completely. Like he still tried to make it nice for his dad.
Right.
He tried to be like, well, that's not because, or you know, I'm not trying to say he, but he was able, like you're saying, Candace, to get his point across
enough
and explain how he feels on a day to day basis.
Right.
And even sometimes, I think the point that we learned in the car was that it was in Jack's head. So I thought that was another important point too, is that sometimes you may feel excluded or that someone may think something about you, but it was just in his head. Like he laughs it off. He's like, no, Dad, you're old. It had nothing to do with that.
Yeah, so I thought that was good too. And then just to follow up on that, we got to see, I mean, I think Jack showcased it as well when he took him to the monument and explained, like, you know, you're going to lose balance, you're going to find it, you're going to lose it, you're going to find it. Like, that's the way that life goes. So we can't be hung up on, you know, feeling like you don't belong or out of place.
Yeah, I really liked the introduction to figuring out finally what happened with Jack when he was younger.
Yeah.
Because we never got to see that. And I think it goes, going off of your point, I feel like we're all making like very concise points that meet with each other, but it doesn't necessarily meaning like feeling excluded just by skin color or by gender.
Yeah,
it can also be experiences that people have never had. Like, you know, Jack's feeling of exclusion is dealing with something that's very real that a lot of men and women now have to face, of going to fight in war and to seeing different things and experiencing things in life that you can never get away from. And you almost feel ostracized and removed, even though no one's making you feel like that. Because no one ever really, like, inadvertently makes you feel excluded. And he finally, like, kind of came out and explained to Randall, you know, like, these are some of the reasons why I feel removed.
And he said, he's like, your mom doesn't even know
exactly
all of it. Yeah.
And we didn't really get too much. We didn't hear anything about the brother. Mm-hmm. So he didn't really, like, I know that there was a moment where he put his hand on the wall. So that was clearly where his brother's name was. And I'm sure Randall and them had that moment. Mm. Because I believe the only people on the wall are the people that passed.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We're so, mm-hmm. So Randall clearly knows, but we didn't get to see any of that story.
You think he told him? I don't think he did.
Now I'm starting to think he didn't.
You don't think he did?
I don't think he did. They were at the monument.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just to talk about the war itself. And his experience.
But I don't think he said, I have a brother. Yeah, I agree with her. I don't think he said. Okay.
That is a good point. I don't know, because I was leaning with you in the beginning. I felt like, oh, well, maybe this is something that he shared. But it was very vague. He said, you know, your mom doesn't know everything. And the monument, of course, he can identify with because he fought in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So it could very well that he was only offering, you know, his bit of experience and the little, you know, insight that he gave us. So maybe like a few weeks ago, we were trying to decide if we thought that, if
Rebecca even knew, I don't think she knew
about his brother. So maybe it's still a secret.
I think honestly, Randall at that age was so intellectual and like so keen on observation that something would have been said, kind of mentioning that he knows, like, hey dad, I know that you've been through so much, when he's talking about the balances in life shifting up and down. I don't think anybody knows. I don't even honestly think, and if Rebecca does know, maybe it's something that was so big to Jack that it was never shared with the children because it was a part of him. But I honestly think she might not know, because we did all say that. I think it was,
and
like,
she didn't meet the dad until three his or something
or four. Yeah,
I feel like she does. I don't think she does either.
Yeah, she's like, oh, you have a dad that's about to die.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy that she knows. I mean, I feel, at least they're making it feel like she knows nothing about his life.
Right.
Or his past life, at least.
Can you imagine, too, and this is just off point, but him saying that the draft was on TV, I didn't know that. Can you imagine what that would be like to sit there and hear your name over TV that you're going to war? No one sent you anything. No one came to get you. No one called you.
Oh, that's what he meant? I thought he was just...
He said my life changed by looking at the TV because the draft was over the TV.
Oh, I was thinking he was saying we saw like an advertisement of saying come sign up.
Right. No, they didn't get signed up for that. All men, and still to this day, at 18, you have to enlist in the draft. All men do at the in the state. So if the draft is called, you don't get a choice.
Right.
You just go. Like, or they say go, you go.
Or you go to jail.
Or you go to jail. It's considered...
I mean, like, I know that. I know that. I just didn't think that names were being read.
It seems like it would be. I mean, I guess that would have been the main medium at the time.
Isn't it crazy looking back, though? At 18 years old, he was watching the TV screen and being told...
He's 25.
Oh, I'm saying, like, but at close, 18, you could have been drafted into the war.
Yeah.
And as, what, I think they're, like, 16 or 17 applying to colleges, he's deciding between Harvard and Howard. In retrospect, it's crazy the kind of struggles that he went through, which explains
why he went to Harvard so much, too.
Why he was pro-Harvard, and also why, you know, he went to alcohol for his problems. He couldn't. He didn't feel like anyone else can, as you said, feeling as a part of a community. He didn't feel that anyone else would understand.
And I think especially having gone through that, like those type of experiences, a lot of people don't share. Like my grandfather fought in Vietnam, but that's something that's never talked about.
And PTSD wasn't as recognized as it is now.
Yeah,
I know we're getting a little off topic, but I think that.
They said they didn't call names on TV, that they called numbers. How do you know what number you are?
I think you get assigned one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Somebody said people too poor for TV were screwed, I guess.
I don't think the draft was over the TV. I think it was just seeing the war. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking.
But either way, just like, saying, just to see all of that, because that was one of the least televised wars as well, because they wanted to keep it away from people that it was, like, so bad.
Yep.
And then that's why people were so against it, too.
So it was on TV, but it was, they gave the birth month and the year. Well, yeah, the concept of what we're saying is that...
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you.
The difference in the lives for Jack versus
for both,
his children.
Yeah.
And it's even more interesting to me that it was 18 versus 25. Because 25, you've kind of lived your adult life for 7 years. Not kind of, but you've lived your adult life for 7 years at that point. So you... think that you're kind of maybe in your what your life is going to be. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, that's when he said his life changed because he's like, I thought I was comfortably at home. Well, not comfortably because we know about his dad.
Right.
But I thought I was living my life. I wasn't going to have to go to war. And then, bam, all of a sudden, one day,
everything changes.
I'm called. Yeah.
We're very fortunate.
Yeah, we really are. Life. But I think in going off of that a little bit away from it, I think the fact that they got to have that moment and that he's sharing it with Randall is so beautiful that they got to have that as father and son, because there was one line where he said, I'm not going to be able to be here for all those choices. Yeah. I was like, done.
Yeah.
Crying, like bad crying. You guys just didn't hear me. Mm-hmm.
No, we heard you.
Thanks heard me?
No, okay. I didn't. Thanks to headphones.
At that point,
yeah,
I heard you.
Yeah, they were really loud.
But, and the girl sitting behind us.
She heard too. But, and then there was another moment where, I mean, it's different lives and life moments that he didn't get to share. But then also, on retrospect, William talking about that conversation that we got to see with Randall. Mm. And a lot of what influences his choices with Deja was his conversation with William, where he said, you know, I met Rebecca.
Right.
We had met a couple of times. And then that one day I followed. And he got to hear that other side of the story that we didn't.
I know.
And
I
it was all over a bicycle.
It was great.
But there's, like, moments in your life where you realize, like, you've lived a full life without me. I can't just insert myself
And then also, really quick, just to see that his influence are also based on the experience or the time that he didn't have, you know, with William, and making those decisions for Deja because of what he hopes or maybe how he feels things could have been different if he had his birth father in his life as well.
And the fact that he's, like, still trying to do what's best for the child because of his influence with Jack. So I think he's been very much influenced on both ends, that he's had such positive people within his life.
Yeah, he's connecting the bikes to the sweater. Because remember, the mom was outside holding the purple sweaters.
Purple.
And she was so excited to be bringing home clothes for Deja.
Yeah.
And he remembered the story with William on which bike was his. And he was talking to Beth. He's like, she had purple sweaters. Like, is that her favorite color? Mm. And they're like, no, we don't know what her favorite color
and
is.
And then about the nicknames.
The nicknames,
and, Tater
Tot. And Deja.
Deja.
But that was so cute. The best part is that just like Randall always felt like he didn't know where he fit in and which life, Deja turns around full circle, 20, 30 years later, and says, I feel stuck too. Like, I want to go home with my mom, but I also don't want to leave here. And it was kind of beautiful that in that short amount of time, they built that kind of a bond.
Yeah.
Where she could say something like that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Especially from where they started.
You guys, he cried.
I was going to say, what sent me to an emotional place was seeing William's thought of what his life would have been Randall's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even that he was just in Randall's life. He was in Kevin and Kate's life. He was in Jack and Rebecca's life. Like, he was part of the family. He was there for birthdays. He was there for Christmas. That, for me, just thinking that a father that doesn't have the ability to raise their child, or even a parent, to think what my life would look like and then realize it's better if I stay away.
Mm. And you got on the chemistry set, you guys, for Christmas.
That was
William that got it. That would have been so cute,
yeah.
I loved it. And then,
they would have been welcoming. I feel like they actually, Rebecca and Jack would have been welcoming. They would have let.
Jack would have been.
You don't think so?
Jack would have been.
Rebecca, I mean, Rebecca literally ran out when he was so excited about meeting Randall.
Right.
You think
she was so afraid that Randall was going to be taken from her.
Mm-hmm. But even
which is a good, valid fear.
But if William said, I only want to be apart for holidays,
but
I feel like Rebecca has a big heart at the end of the day.
They were trying to have that conversation, and she, you know, dodged. I think naturally, you're always going to think, you know, anytime it's going to be a reminder that you're not mine. So I don't fault her for it, but she wouldn't have
I think that's such a hard place to be, and I'm sure that, like, a lot of adoptive parents have that of, like, do I let that person that's not actually their parent, because it's not the parent. The fact that they have not raised a child means that they're not the parent in the long run. Like, William is his father, like, biological father, but, like, a child when they're growing up will automatically be like, oh, I want to talk to my biological blah, 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 blah. Like, it's a valid fear that Rebecca would want to keep it away and not to confuse him either, you know?
Well, because they're fearing how with Deja's mom, she came and she declared, I'm going to take my daughter back. If William had come with a different stance, that I believe you guys could either give him a better life or a better opportunity, but I want to be around for the holidays. I think she would fight it, but I ultimately think Rebecca does love her children and would do what's in their best interest first.
Eventually, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like that's
I mean, it's a hypothetical anyways, but
yeah. I do think Jack would have been more welcoming. More apt to.
Yeah, I think he would have as a man.
But I also think that influences why Randall says to Shauna, you know, if you need somebody to take care of her, if you need somebody, you know, to help her with homework, I can do that, because he understands that Deja needs to be with her mother, or wants to be with her mother. But he's like, don't let this be the last that we see of each other either. We're willing to stay in her life. And she clearly wants to be in ours as well.
That's the best part about it as well, because by that point he sees, and, you know, as a whole, like viewing the show, you get to see what the impact of a foster parent can look like. It doesn't have to be just this saving grace from somebody who is in a bad situation and they're never going to know their parents. It very much can be, you know, step in for however long the time may be. She acknowledged him doing the science project. That was the part that, you know, got me feeling like, oh, that's so sweet. And for him to see, like, he's made this connection that could very well, you know, withstand the test of time, and he could be a part of her life forever as a foster dad, and she still could have her mom.
And the scene where Shauna sees her daughter actually embrace Randall, I think that maybe, I'm just assuming that maybe there's a part of her that has known her history being in and out of these foster homes, and maybe that in the past that her old foster dad would hit her with the magazine. And oh my God, I just said foster dad when she's at the presentation.
Exactly.
And she goes, my foster dad helped me with this. Died.
That is the sweetest thing ever. Oh, I loved it.
And she doesn't
have
a male.
Just smiling.
It's just sad because she doesn't have a male influence in her life, at least from the way they scripted it. So I think it's, I can see where Shauna's coming from. Maybe she's being more like Rebecca was, about just kind of being territorial. But why would she not want, like, a good male figure? Like, if he's offering to drive all the way down there, but, bring the girls.
Because at that point, when they first see each other at the beginning of the episode, she's still remembering the interaction that she and Randall had at the jail.
That's
at the prison.
True.
Yeah.
So there was already this combativeness. And then she comes to the house and you got Beth in her face. Because Beth was like, look, let me tell you, you ain't taking this job.
Go, Beth.
You know? So already there's this headbutting that's happening. So by the end, she might have been more willing to let Randall and Beth come around and everything like that. But in the beginning, no.
And to piggyback off of that too, and this is just my assumption, is that Deja's mom is also coming from a place, like, they made it very evident, like, with her car and where they're from. And she even mentioned it in the jail. She's like, oh, you're probably married to, like, a white woman and you got all these, like, great things and blah, blah, blah. So she already sees a divide financially and, like, where they're at in their lives. And there's such a huge gap between the two and the circumstances and what life is handed to either of these parties. Like, if you're a mom and you're trying to do your best and that foster family is always one-upping you, whether it's technology or whether it's gifts or whether it's attention or whether it's a good school, it's like, all Deja's mom wants to do is provide the best life that she can do. And if you've constantly got this foster parent one-upping you, you're not able to do the job that you can do as a parent. And you're always going to feel less than.
I agree. And I think that's why she was hesitant when Randall offered to come and babysit or whatever. Yeah.
Let
she
me do like, my job as a mom.
Right.
Let me do what I can do.
I have nothing against Deja's mom. Obviously, she was in a situation. But as the case manager had told Randall and Beth, is that she did a plea agreement. So it's not even that she was free and clear and she had nothing to do with the gun being in her car, even though she claimed she didn't. I mean, was I wrong that the impression that I got was that it was just a plea deal for her to give information on something else that had happened? So ultimately, it's, she wants a second chance with her daughter, yes, but it's kind of like when we talked about this, I think it was two episodes ago, would Randall be where he is today if he was raised with William versus being raised with Beth and Rebecca? And it's nothing to do with money, because Beth and Rebecca weren't, I mean, he had to go borrow money from his father. They weren't also rolling in money. And it's just about the difference in environment. But, you know, it just with Deja's mom, I wonder if you guys think there's a chance that something might happen in the future with her and they will get Deja back. Like, I was thinking about that at the end of the episode.
I don't know if they would go back to the same foster family at that point. I don't know if you can, like, specify that. It just depends on the system.
Well, they could adopt her, right?
I think that could be it. But I think for this show and this situation, it's not.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's fine.
We saw the introduction of a little boy. So You know, they want to adopt again, so.
I was hoping we were going to see more of Deja, though.
I know.
Kelly, she was a great Kelly character. A great story.
That's Kelly what I'm saying. I want her to come back.
Kelly was saying in the chat that she was hoping that Deja would spend Thanksgiving with him. I was hoping that, too. I was hoping that they would invite Deja and Shauna to spend Thanksgiving with them.
You guys
have
been watching too much Little House on the Prairie. Because she was like, I'm taking my daughter.
Throwback.
Right. Like, happy endings like that. I would have loved that, too.
Yeah, do we have a lot of happy endings here?
I'm thinking, well, and to be fair,
it still
case,
is a happy ending.
Yes, it
like,
is.
Everybody no, of course feels it is. Good. But yeah. we're team, we love Randall and Beth.
Mm-hmm. What I did love, though, is both of those parents throwing down, like, Mama and Daddy Lion Bear Cub taking care of Deja. I don't know what that expression is. I tried.
At the table?
Yes.
Okay, I was like, who?
Where are we going about? Yeah. Well, at the door, whenever she's fighting with Deja's mom, like, no, you're not taking this child, blah, 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 blah. But then also, the way Randall handled himself did not yell. He just said, you spoke your piece, it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're going to listen, and this is what it is. How many times have you done your job to where the child went back to a wrong spot? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, he had points. He was ready and firing, and then he's just like, I spoke my piece.
But Deja is the mom. Even though, obviously, I have my hesitation because of what the case manager said about the mom and how she got out.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, that is her mom. And she
of course.
Says, she goes, you know, my mom makes bad choices, but
she's
cool.
Pretty cool.
I don't know what she calls it. She goes, she's cool.
Yeah, and the fact that she has to reassure, like, again, it echoes what Randall said at the beginning. Deja had to play parent to calm Shauna down.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the episode, she had to be like, I'm okay. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being 12 years old or however old she is, she has to be that mature.
And calm her mom
and
down.
So
and
calm sad Randall that down. She has to lose her childhood because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she won't. But I did love the moment where Beth said, keep that beautiful head full of hair.
They left her with, you know, so much, I think. And we got to see that for the time that she was on the show. We got to see the impact of just how they were able to build her up, even with her and Randall and talking about, you know, the big house or the fancy cars. Like, just mm-hmm. all of those pieces that she can hold on to as she navigates the world. Of course, she'll never be able to get her childhood back and, you know, whatever life experience will come, she has to, you know, overcome them. But I feel like they made such a huge impact on her.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the point. Like, that's the beauty that we see that we don't always we're not exposed to when it comes to, like, adoption or, like, foster care or all these situations.
And that's what they said, too. He was like, I think that more kids out there need us.
Exactly.
And need our home.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I have to say that this episode was so beautifully written and put together.
Agreed.
I mean, of course, I love that they're doing that whole thing about the vantage point, showing us different angles of the big three. I loved Kevin's episode, but with this episode specifically, I felt like we finally hit home on understanding Randall today, which led to ultimately his decision with Deja. And I think, like I said, it was so beautifully put together. I love that we had that moment with Randall and his father, kind of like underlining their relationship. You know, his hesitation with, are you sure you want to go to Howard versus Harvard? Jack also feeling the other way around, like, I'm the white dad, not so much, like, I'm the, you know, like, I'm the adopted kid. We saw it from both sides, and then he opened up to him. I still don't think he knows about the brother at all. But the fact that they were able to compare and contrast their life, we're able to see from that perspective. I just think this episode was incredible.
Yeah, I think this one out of all three, it was just streamlined in a way where we got to see the mass amount of, like, everything, and it was all connected so well. And like you said, it from young to teen to grown Randall and to the family, everything just came together in a way that was like, oh, wow. Like, there was just a wholeness about it. And we didn't have any crazy, you know, endings or, like,
That ending was so random.
But it came together is what I mean. Nobody, there wasn't any more loss.
I needed a couple more minutes.
Okay.
Because for a second, we thought it was going to go crazy.
But I need a few more minutes.
To echo what you were saying, Lena, about the conversation about Harvard versus Howard, I'm actually glad that they brought that up because quite often, even in the Black community, people will put an quote-unquote Ivy League over an HBCU to be like, oh, well, you're not going to do this. You're not going to be able to do that. If you're walking around saying you're from Howard, nobody's going to understand. I appreciate that because it's a conversation that still happens to this day. There's constant conversation of, are HBCUs necessary? And it's the historical aspect that makes it what it is. Right. But it's still a college at the end of the day. You're still getting an education, a quality education. And so I just appreciated that little bit of a conversation.
Yeah, there's excellent teachers everywhere. I went to UCLA. I studied economics. And I remember my professors, the classes would all be at 8 a.m. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, I picked the worst major ever.
Yeah.
I know that's not that early, but that was early for me.
No, especially that's early.
You went to be there 8 a.m.
every day.
Numbers, and this guy is just like, and I remember asking my professor once, hey, you know, why are the classes so early? And he said, because a lot of us, because especially myself, and he was one of the best teachers on campus, the highest rated, because, you know, they have, like, a Bruin review where you can review your teachers and stuff. Mm. He said, I teach at Cal State Fullerton, which is a Cal State versus UCLA. But it's the same teacher.
Is that allowed?
Yeah.
Clearly. I don't know. But I think...
So you can get the same education. It doesn't matter. Like, my point is, it doesn't matter if it's a community college, Cal State, or thing. As long as you're getting an education, you're building yourself, you're helping yourself grow. As long as you're getting some kind of an education, I don't... Like you said, it's just... I don't even think it's versus an HSBC versus even an Ivy League. I think it's just schools when they compare it to. Did I say it wrong?
HBCU.
I butchered that, guys.
You're fine. But I think for this in particular, just the whole Harvard versus Howard thing, I mean, like you said, it is an important conversation that is still to be had. And you see a slew or so many HBCUs that are no longer holding on to it or going out of it. So I'm glad they showed that. But bigger still is just that Jack could respect the connectiveness that Randall had to it. Because I think naturally, who wouldn't want their kid to go to Harvard if they have the potential to do so? But seeing how impacted he was, you know what? You always make the right decision.
And I think
which I think hopefully he picks Howard.
I think he does.
And I think, too, I think Randall's already felt so much of, like, I'm the only black kid. I'm the only, like, this. I'm only this. And if you go to Harvard, and especially in that time, it's a very white school.
Yeah.
And still to this day, there's not a lot of diversity at some of the Ivy Leagues. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I still don't think it's at the level where it could be. Mm-hmm. I think it's moving and changing. But I think that it's still historically more of that. So I think him needing in that point of his life to feel more inclusion and to have an identity outside of his family. You know, which is what every 18-year-old wants. Let's be real. You know, so I think that it would be... I mean, I think he does pick Howard.
He does pick, because I think that's Beth that walks by.
I thought it might have been Beth.
Because remember when Kevin was explaining her, he said her hair.
I just didn't
know. Braids, do you remember?
But is she older?
That's what I was going to ask.
She's older.
She must be, because I think that was her. She would have already been in college.
She is older, because in the scene with Kevin, when he's talking about how he helped Randall pick her up, I think he kind of insinuated that she was an older classmate already going there. And I think that's why, because they made it a point to show Randall check her out, and that's not
they did kind of linger on her, but I don't
know,
like,
even move the camera a little
bit, but
her.
I don't know if it was just to signify like they caught each other's eye, or if it was to say that is Beth, they're leaving like a little drop to say, hey, remember that girl's face.
With how many hints they threw about the miscarriage and all the other stuff they've done, I'm pretty sure that was Beth.
I thought it was too. I did.
Teamwork.
Finally.
Oh my God! We agreed on something.
The whole night.
All
separation.
Night.
Lena wants to fight me every single week.
Okay.
And I'm just happy to be here.
Keith is talking about we weren't fighting. He just has a tendency of disagreeing with every single thing I ever say. I could say the sky is blue. He's like, no, it's not. It's pink. Basically, what I was saying, which will go into the next point, is the ending. I needed like an extra minute. They just threw us in. She's in the car. He's getting arrested. She pops up and he's like, put your seatbelt on.
He's showing up, though.
By the way, by he, we mean Kevin. I, like, skipped over that.
I was like, wait a second. Oh. We're going to go back to the house.
Oh, right. Because
when Kevin shows up.
Yeah.
So we finished the conclusion of the phone call that we've seen three times. And, like, I already heard she had a miscarriage. Okay, we got that out of the way.
We didn't see it last episode because I thought Kate called Randall.
No. We've always seen the door opening and Kevin coming in. And he's like, I know. I already found out. Like, she had a miscarriage. We've seen that part three times.
In the first episode.
Kate called Kevin after she got off the band. Remember, she stopped singing. She took out her phone, and she called. And it went, I think after, like, one ring, went to voicemail or something. Or she was trying to call him. Do you guys remember that?
That might have been when he was in the
and
hotel.
And then that's when he cleared it out. Yeah. And that's when he cleared it out.
Yeah.
I don't know, but she's saying we did see, well, we've seen it a couple times at this point.
Yeah.
We've
seen
Kevin
it a
and Randall's
times.
Response, like, I already know.
And then now we've surpassed that.
Yes.
We've gotten past all the past videos. And we finally get to see Kevin come in and, like, actually interact with Randall. And why did Randall not catch on to
I think it was just his face.
I can just try to give him the benefit with everything else that's going on, like the leaves in Deja. But he, because he showed, like you said, a little bit, because he's like vodka or so early, but just look
at this sweaty man.
He's got the underbags. There's no such thing as that. Right. And on top of it, like, he's already been to the banquet with Kevin and seen him like this. So this is the second time that Randall has seen Kevin in this type of state, and you're still not clicking, or maybe you don't want to click with it, but they've clearly seen their dad with alcoholism. So they know what the signs are. They should Why are you being that, like...
Is it maybe, I think it's going back to the fact that there's, not that there's a disconnect, but they've always not been as close. For example, how Kate went to go call Kevin, but then Randall had to call Kate. I think that they're just used to always going to each other, and that maybe that's why Kevin wants to avoid Kate. Not just because she had her miscarriage, but he knows that she will. Like the twin thing. Didn't you say twins have the thing?
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. He has to, like, and y'all know how much I love Randall. He has to be blind not to know there's something wrong with Kevin.
Yeah, he definitely should have known.
He's a hot mess. He chugged that OJ and vodka. Good lord. But he chugged it when nobody was in the kitchen.
That's true.
Right, until the kids showed up.
Yeah. But still, he put the vodka on the top, didn't stir it. He pretty much drank vodka.
Girl, because at the point, he just wants the alcohol.
Exactly.
The orange juice is just to make Randall it not look as bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's just like, well, let me put it in orange juice so it doesn't look like I'm just drinking straight vodka. Yeah.
But yeah, no, that whole bit, I was just kind of like, come on, Randall, catch on, just please.
Yeah.
And they even took it to the furthest, like,
I was just saying, Taylor Anderson,
everybody's having a conversation about Jack. And
why is no one paying attention to Kevin?
Right.
That's what we're saying.
It's crazy to me. Like, I don't understand
his daughter's paid attention to Kevin more. That's why she's, like, in the car. And as I said,
oh my God.
And Keith had an excellent point when I said it. He said that she had to be in the car. Actually, it was Erica that said it.
No, that was me. I said
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You better take your credit.
He's like, I was just giving him a compliment, but he wanted to make sure he got the credit for it. But yeah, it's a valid point that she had to be in the car for it to be something so extreme. But it was just, it was so quick. And I thought for sure there was going to be an accident.
Yeah,
I was like,
oh,
I just,
God. Me too.
I thank God that it was just a pullover and a DUI.
Right?
That's I'm not saying I wanted an accident, but that's where I felt like it was going. And then they cut it short, which is why I feel like I needed like another minute or two.
I was glad that they pulled us back, because I think as an art or as a viewer of this show, you have no choice but to go there.
Mm-hmm. Because you're talking about anything for the worst.
It's a safe assumption.
And because at the same time, we're hearing Jack talk about like one falls, the other stands up or something like that.
Oh yeah, because of the flashbacks as the babies.
If you're talking about one falling,
oh God,
then you're
and he's in the car and he's speeding around.
Your only assumption would be
Yeah.
And you know, for a moment I was thinking, so a couple things I'm just spit out real quick. Because for a moment I was thinking, well, what is Kevin's intention? Like, is he at the point where he, like, does he not want
to do this
before,
you know? Sabotage mode.
And I feel like having her in the backseat kind of brought him back again. But I was glad we didn't have to see any accidents. We don't have to see any trauma there. But I do think it was interesting to have her say that she snuck in the car because she wants to be away. She doesn't want to be in the house. I don't want to be at home.
She sensed something was wrong with Kevin.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he was very dismissive in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is weird and off, but maybe she identifies with Kevin, because I feel like Kevin is the one that didn't get, well, no, Kate didn't get a lot of attention, but like I think she identifies more with Kevin because he's like,
he's a mammy.
Distant. Yeah, but she became
the
middle child, essentially. She's not the baby anymore when Deja came in. And, of course, every bit of attention went to Deja. And she's at that age where she's realizing, like, hey, I want attention, too. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's a stretch.
I was going to say, but I don't feel that.
But why did the baby not go in the car with
him? Because she said she hates the house. Did she say that? I don't remember.
Yeah, that's when she was in the car.
She said that, but...
But the little one, why didn't the little one follow
along? Because Tess was, like, probably, like, if... If we're both gone, they're gonna know something's wrong.
So they're smart little girls.
Yeah, so Tess was like, smart. You stay here. And because she probably figured, if something's gonna happen, I'd rather it happen to me and not my sister.
Yeah. I think that she did notice.
I think that's a stretch for an 8, 12, 11-year-old.
We were just talking about how mature Deja is.
Yeah, but she's... Okay.
I think she made
the decision. They were different. They were raised differently, though. She was kind of...
Yeah, but it doesn't change the fact that you can be more mature at a young age than we give children light for.
And she's Beth's daughter, so she's probably pretty perceptive.
Oh, my nephew is 8 years old, and that kid is extremely intelligent. So nowadays, kids and the access to information they have.
Yeah.
Right.
But why someone did said she...
that she feels like the older sister that's ignored. I can feel that, especially because Deja was getting a lot of the attention, just like Randall was getting a lot of the attention when he was younger because he was adopted. So I feel like a lot of attention. But what was the timeline for how long Deja was there? Do we ever get a gauge of that? Was it like a month, 2 months?
No, I think it was a little bit longer. I don't have an exact
amount. But just to present the counter, because now I see what Erica is trying to say, like, her saying that, like, not to read too much into it, you're thinking that she was saying that only because she needed to tell him something, but her sole purpose was to be there for Kevin. Mm-hmm. So she's going to say, oh, I just wanted to be away because I hated at home, but she doesn't really do that. She's just doing this because she felt
she loves whatever Kevin. Connection she she's had. She's always like, the Manny.
Yeah.
And she was, if it hadn't been where he got pulled over, I think she would have tried to talk him down and just be like, let's just go back to the house, you know? Or I'm hungry. You want to go get some IHOP or something like that? Mm-hmm. I think she would have figured out a way
to get him
mm-hmm. back.
It's Thanksgiving. Yeah. To a safe place.
And I'm also glad that Kevin snapped out of it, too. I'll give him credit because as soon as he noticed she was there, he's like, what are you doing? Put your seatbelt on. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? So he wasn't just completely lost, like a lost cause.
Kudos to the little girl that plays Tess because mm-hmm. when he got arrested, that breakdown in the back was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was so like heart-wrenching and just, I don't know, that's a whole nother thing to witness when you're a child, to see that. That's scary. Listen, I don't even know how I would react at 27.
Just a really miniature amount of a story. I was like super young, me and my twin brother. Yeah. We had the whole, like, it was just this incident at my grandfather's house. Like, the police stormed in. We had to, like, everybody had to get out in the grass. And, like, you know, you have, like, officers or people, mm-hmm. like, consoling you. But it is, like, what is happening? Like, what world is this? Because it's an experience that, as a child, you never know. And to think about Tess, like, who would think that going to, like, on a ride with my uncle, like, he's getting being arrested. Handcuffed for a DUI.
I will say something, though. Someone mentioned in the chat, they asked if you think that, or if we think that Kevin and Randall's relationship is now going to have a rift.
Yes.
I am going to be Team Kevin, even though all season we've talked about how we haven't really seen any depth to him. He has tried reaching out. He's tried getting attention, like getting Sophie to listen. He tried getting Randall to listen. He tried talking to Randall on the phone. And I understand that Randall had other things going on. He just had his foster daughter ripped from his home, and I understand that, but he tried, and he really did try to talk to people.
Yeah.
He was gonna call Kate, and then he heard she had a miscarriage, so he's probably like, I'm not gonna call her. He tried talking to Randall twice, didn't happen. He drove all the way to his house to seeking help, and then of course he showed up on Sophie's doorstep, which we understand why Sophie closed the door, but he was trying to explain. He is on self-sabotage mode, and I've seen people, and well, you know, everyone in the world has gone through some point where they feel depressed or they're sad about something or they feel stressed out. He's at that point of no return where mm-hmm. he's in the car, speeding, not caring. And it is literally seeing Tessa mm-hmm. that kind of brings him back. And I'm not defending him, but obviously he didn't know and he wouldn't have made that decision with exactly. Tessa being in the car. And yes, it still makes him, I don't want to use the word selfish, but
he was unaware to answer. Yeah. I don't think that it's going to cause a rip. I think this is going to be what he needs and what everybody needs to see. Like, wow, how could we miss all this?
Yeah.
I think maybe for an instant, it'll be like, oh my God. Cause you know, you hear them say like, I'm going to kill him.
I'm going to kill him first.
But once it comes out, I think it'll give like the family, let's just bring it all back in together.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where they pick up going into the second half of the season, because we leave off with all of this. Like, we got someone arrested. We got someone with a miscarriage. We just lost a foster kid. And it seems like we're getting another one coming in soon, and a little boy.
Right.
Which is precious. But I don't know where it's going to go from here at all. Like, where do we pick up? Do we learn more about, like, are we finally going to get the answer to how Jack died? Or are we going to figure out, like,
can we get that?
I just want to know, do you guys think that this was Kevin's bottom? Being arrested. But being arrested in front of his niece.
With his niece in the car.
I think this is it.
And we said, who said this last episode, that something really earth-shattering needs to happen to him for, like, a wake-up call. Because the way they showed the scene was that he had no care for his own life.
Right.
He would have either probably killed himself, killed somebody else, or all of the above.
Yeah.
But then when he saw his niece, it was a huge wake-up call for him. And I'm really hoping his family helps him get through this. There's a lot of drama this episode.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He gave us a lot.
It was a lot.
Plus, what did they say? When it rains, it's pouring?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he also... getting arrested, he's a public figure, so that's gonna like completely be blown out of proportion. True. Yeah, guys.
That is
like,
true.
Not only on your family front, but now the whole world
is gonna know.
Is gonna know,
and they're gonna spin it as first he had the breakdown at the high school. I'm sure somebody has a video of
his
speech.
They have a video of it,
and then they're gonna say now he has a DUI, and they're gonna talk about the downfall of the Manny,
and then the Manny. Whenever I'm so sorry, when he had the blow up about the Manny, because I mean we saw where that was crazy and publicity wise. So like. Where is that going to leave him? That may be even more of a breaking point. Because is he going to have a career when he gets out? Is he going to have a place to go? He's already lost Sophie. He's getting ready to lose his career because of all of this, possibly.
Did he lose Sophie?
Everything.
I'm still thinking yes, but who knows? Who's to say? Maybe she'll come back.
She's going
to
make a cameo, I think. Maybe not back with him, but...
Could he lose his movie? I don't know. Like, someone else is saying that.
You know what's interesting?
I think he's... Well... There was an actor who was all his parts are being reshot, so it's possible.
Yeah, they can easily do that.
I was almost gonna say that I feel like another thing they're touching on now is the whole downfall of like the actors. You know, some actors they get so big and they go through this like spiral downwards, kind of like what they're gonna show. I really feel like next season, or not next season, but when we come back, they're gonna show, like I said, the speech, and they're gonna say, look at the downfall of the Manny, starting with this outbreak on the Manny, then this, and then now this.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
That would be so sad, guys.
There's a lot.
Kevin really tried, you guys.
I think he did, too.
We have come so far with Kevin.
You did.
Because I feel like he's suffering from what every single person at some point in their life has suffered from, which is depression from different things. Even Jack went through it.
Yeah.
And he kept it to himself.
Randall has anxiety, which is also another form of depression.
Mm. And what makes me sad is that Kevin came full circle and was trying to reach out and gave the speech at his high school about how these are the people that matter, the doctors and the other people, not the actors or these glamorous stuff or the social media stuff you guys pay attention to. So I don't know. Kudos to Kevin.
Yeah. And then, you know, Kate's trying to have another baby, so we'll see how that happens. Because they never actually did they finish their marriage license?
I hope they have a big wedding.
They're probably, they might
did
have,
they sign not, the
no.
sheet?
No.
No,
they're not married yet because they were going to, so that she could like go towards his mom. So they're not even married yet.
And then Toby proposed and canceled that whole thing.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll see how that ends up.
Wait, he canceled the proposal. They canceled getting married at the courthouse. I thought he said he wanted to give her a wedding now.
Yeah, yeah. They canceled
at the courthouse.
You guys,
that's
if
what
we
I
go wedding shopping, I will be so happy.
I would love that. And then Rebecca coming back and like finally having that relationship with Kate. I just think there's a lot of loose ends that are still open, which yes. I like, but not enough to where I'm going to be like tormented over the holiday season.
Yeah,
because I believe they come back the
seventh.
Is it? It can't be.
Someone said the seventh.
Okay,
know,
so the seventh is a Thursday, so that would be incorrect. So
the second.
Wait. The second is a Tuesday, so it has to be the second.
Okay,
so we'll be back the second, guys. Right, whoa.
What?
Oh, all of these different things in here. I see rape and molestation accusations up here, and I'm like, wait, is there something else?
What
is
happening?
When
we come back?
Group chat.
They were just saying how Kevin can bounce back from a DUI, just like other people have bounced back from, you know.
Oh, yeah, they can easily.
They mentioned Mel Gibson.
So when we come back, we're definitely not going to find out how Jack dies, that's for sure. But we will have, hopefully, a wedding, hopefully a cute little adopted boy.
Wait.
And then maybe Kate's pregnant.
Are you doing predictions?
I guess so.
Did you just jump into it? We didn't even get the music. You gotta wait.
I knew it was coming.
It's order.
Steve was ready, though. Steve was ready on that button.
You had a prediction for the prediction song.
Thank you, Steve.
It was really because I was realizing we're still not gonna find out how Jack dies. I feel like we're not gonna find it out this. This is still considered season two, right? After we come back.
I think we'll find out the last episode of season two. That's my prediction.
Really? I just wanna know about the brother. Someone please, God, tell me about the brother.
Oh, Jack's brother.
Jack's
brother.
I don't know where we start off, but I don't think it's in any of those places.
I'm excited to see the little boy.
Yeah.
He's so precious. So I'm excited to see him come in the family.
You know what? Now that we've gotten through these big three episodes, which I have to admit my favorite was Randall's.
Yes,
was
this mine too. One
that was tonight.
Yep.
I want to see a Jack-focused episode.
And a Rebecca.
And a Rebecca-focused episode.
I
want to
know a little bit more about
Rebecca. I want them to do that.
And Beth. To be honest, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah. I want to see more about Beth. 100%.
I think we will find out when they go into Randall's life in college. Because mm-hmm. that was her walking by. I'm convinced.
I'm excited to see more about these characters because I feel like we don't have enough of Rebecca's backstory. We have just mom Rebecca.
Yeah.
We don't have where she came from of why
and
she
her relationship
kids,
with her mom.
Her relationship with her mom and then how she met with Jack. And we know how they met, but like their progression in a relationship and just... You know, I'd really like to see that. And then, obviously, we've seen a little bit of Jack before he met Rebecca, but not enough.
We don't know anything about him.
Chelsea.
I mean, he was working at a car. He was working as a mechanic. And then he was working on that car. And he was supposed to go on a blind date with someone else. And then bounced on the blind date and went and saw Rebecca.
That's true. You guys, can I say one final point that I love about this entire show?
Yes.
Is how much emphasis they put on that adoption is an option. Mm-hmm. And that you can adopt a child. There's so many kids out there. You know, and there's some people that want to obviously have children, their own children, the natural way. But we see how Jack and Rebecca can love Randall as much, if not more, than their own children. And then also how in what, a month or 2 months, Randall and Beth are able to love Deja so much mm-hmm. and change her life and impact it. I love that this episode, they kind of tie that in at the end when they said, maybe not today, maybe not next week, maybe not in a month. Beth said that, but I'm ready because we have a good home.
Yeah.
And that's just so beautifully put because there's so many kids out there, guys.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful, and especially going into the holiday season, which, guys, I'm really sad that I'm not going to have this for the next few weeks.
Yeah.
And you're going to be sad not hearing me sobbing for the next few weeks.
Oh, devastated.
I know.
Are you going to start crying over
I know. You're just going to cry about not hearing me cry for
next
2 weeks.
Tuesday night, I'll
but
be crying.
We love you guys so much. Happy holidays to all of you and to your families. We love spending our Tuesday nights with you, and we're excited to come back in January to talk all about This Is Us. And again, thank you guys for always tuning in. My name's Candace Cruz. You can find me on all of my social media at Candace R. Cruz. That's it. I almost didn't finish that.
Right? I am Keith Andre. You can follow me everywhere at Keith underscore Andre, and we'll see you in 2018.
Oh, God.
And I'm Lena Nori. You can find me all over the internet at Lena Nori, and Happy New Year, because that's true. We will not see you till 2018.
Yeah, I'm going to echo that. Happy holidays to everybody. I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
This is the last time we'll see you in 2017, so
later.
Bye, guys. Be safe out there.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.